Would you give your mum, dad, aunt or that uncle who hugged your partner a little too long free access to your phone?
Oh, no!
Oh, my God, it's a really long video. Ew!
In Dave's brand new YouTube original, Get Off My Phone, we've got six comedians to give their phones over to a relative with total freedom to read messages, DMs, photos and browser history.
Where's your search history?
Sorry?
What to do, tips for relief.
The rules are simple. Their relative can read anything they want and even make calls from the comedian's phone.
What is this?
What is... I don't want this one.
That looks really bad.
Starring Tanya Moore, Anya Magliano, Finlay Christie, Travis J with his mum Angie Lamar, Hayley Morris, Grace Campbell and dad Alistair Campbell.
Slightly sexually compromising
people. Divulging their deepest digital secrets.
What the hell is happening?
Get Off My Phone, a Dave YouTube original. Available now on Dave's YouTube channel.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This show contains strong language and adult themes.
This is a Dave original podcast.
Welcome back to the Late Night Mash podcast. Yes, we've still got one too. With Jeff Norcott and Olga Koch. This is the only podcast that is 100% guaranteed to annoy your nan. Why not give it a try? Go on, show your nan. In case you've clicked the wrong episode and are joining halfway through, that's fine, I won't judge. In this show, we take the biggest culture war battles and play them out in front of your very ears. We now join Olga and Jeff as they tackle one of the greatest issues of our time.
I've been married a while, and I've got this thing with my wife. It's like, you know, if you're in a couple and you're there talking to other people and you stray into an area where there's a high likelihood that if you express your normal opinion on a subject, you're going to offend the other couple. And your wife knows this and can see you going there.
So you're hanging out with swingers.
So essentially, we're at the vanilla club. And so she can see that I'm about to say something insensitive. And my wife will often chip in and she'll just go, Portugal, right? And I go,
Oh my God, that's so cute. That's the most romantic thing I've ever heard in my life. You guys have a secret language. How'd you guys arrive at it?
It was just, I remember, she just kept saying Portugal once. And that was the first word that came to our brain, but it's remained Portugal for this time. So with your fella, what would your kind of social awkwardness safe word be, do you think?
Sam. He's right here, so I'm going to ask him. Sam, so Jeff is telling me that him and his wife have a secret word that whenever Jeff is about to talk about something controversial at a dinner party and she wants to stop him, she just goes, Portugal, 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 and he stops talking. What would you think is a good word for us? Oh my God, what the fuck? Did you hear that?
I did hear that.
Okay, it's definitely not that, and please edit that out. I think you'd say someone would have to say, like, photographs, and I would just be so distracted by the fact that someone would be taking a picture of me, I would just stop talking and start posing.
That's a good one.
And I'm just, voguing. You need to appeal to my vanity immediately.
Do you have vanity? You don't strike me as someone that has vanity.
I mean, we're both performers. There is a level. I think maybe we have a similar level of vanity that you find socially acceptable, but other people simply think is narcissism. Listeners, what word would you use to stop a conversational car crash?
A CCC.
Triple C.
Yeah, it kind of sounds like something that the police would put on your record. We just looked you up, so you do have 17 CCCs within the last week, so that will be an automatic 6-month ban from all social situations.
You have to go in isolation in Portugal.
All right, so the first big question this week, and it might not seem like it drifts directly into the culture wars, which this podcast is explicitly going to resolve by the end. But should kids be able to head footballs, right? So when you get kids playing football at junior level, there was already a pilot scheme that, because of the potential damage of heading footballs too young, that wanted to completely exclude the heading of footballs below a certain level. I think it was under 12, right? And they called it the deliberate heading of football. Now, I've got a son doing Little League at the moment. I would say at a certain level, there's no deliberate headers. They can't do it. They cannot head a football. What happens is the ball's in the air, they shut their eyes and they just leave their head in the air, and it may or may not hit them in the face. And it's one of these things that I think they've realised in sport, the repetitive, forceful heading of footballs, like NFL and rugby and stuff, can cause neurological problems. But I guess the question is whether or not kids should be stopped from doing something, you know, a younger age that's quite a natural part of a sport.
What do you think?
Well, I mean, I just don't think that they're going to be like, they're not like crash test dummies where they're going to be just repeatedly heading footballs the whole time. And like I say, it's quite a hard technique. Have you ever headed a football, Olga?
I think I've tried probably to impress a guy.
Really?
Yeah, probably to be like, I'm not like other girls. I can butt-head a football.
I now only want to talk about you trying to pull by heading a football. God.
Oh, it's like, it's whatever. I'm a cool girl. Good dunk. That's the sound.
I mean, what would be great, though, if you'd have absolutely rose and nutted it. Like, you know what I mean? Not just like
that
made contact.
That would have been sexy as hell. Are you kidding me? How did you meet mom? I met mom because we were at dinner and then there was a football coming at her at full speed. And instead of stepping away, she just headbutted it and continued the conversation.
If you, headbutting is a different thing. When you met mom, she just ran over and headbutted something. That is, that's a very different first date, but.
And I knew she would protect me.
And what they have said, you know, in terms of professional football, is that there's a recommended limit of 10 high-force headers per week in training. So that's been introduced in professional football.
So it's like a five a day. Do you get it? Do you get it all out in one? You just have headbutt day. Sorry, I keep saying headbutt. Heading day. Head day. Head day is a little something else. We have head day. We get all of our head. Me and my boyfriend, we get all of our head out of the way just once a month. We just reach our quota.
Consolidate it into one manageable repayment.
All 10 allowed heads in a day and then never again.
You can not think about it then, can't you? You can just get on with your month. The joy of heading a football, I have to say, when you absolutely connect, it's both a shocking and wondrous feeling. I was just about to say, and look, I headed loads of footballs and it hasn't done me any harm. And then I heard that in... I heard it.
Everything that I hear about... What's it called? What's the brain damage called? Something. There's an abbreviation, isn't there? CB something?
Oh, CTE.
CTE. There we go.
Okay, yeah.
Everything
I
hear about CTE, which is something that I feel like has now has more press coverage because it's a huge problem in American football, is that all these people play professional American football, leave it, and then have insane brain damage, and in their early 30s have like memory loss and all these awful things. And obviously American healthcare coverage doesn't cover it because America is the Hunger Games. And so it sounds absolutely terrifying. And if there's any way to prevent it, especially at a level where kids don't even want to be professional athletes, why even take the risk? It just feels like, this may end in brain damage, but it's not definitely going to end in brain damage. So why prevent kids from doing it? And it's like, why are we doing an activity that may cause brain damage?
But I think that with professional athletes, it's the frequency with which that they would do it, right? So no, I don't think anyone really thinks that the likelihood or the frequency that kids would do it is likely to produce those results. So I feel like it's a good thing to institute younger in a professional athlete's career, but under 12s, I don't know. I worry that with COVID and like. I mean, this is like slightly tangential.
Tangential. Yeah, you have headbutted a lot of balls and it's done nothing to you, Jeff. Hand genital.
But there is an atmosphere at schools, right? And now I've got a son at school, is that a lot of stuff is just not allowed, right? It's just a lot of no contact, competitive sport. And like a mate of mine, definitely not me, a mate of mine knows someone at school where... The parents said they've got a mild allergy to a particular kind of nut, right? And then the school
Come
was like...
Come on, Jeff!
Yeah. A mild an allergy to a particular kind of nut. I can't remember if it's a walnut or a peanut. So the school then banned all nuts for everybody. This is just the peanut thing writ large. It's like we're taking away experience on a mass scale because of a slight possibility of a thing. And I just wonder, like, in life we always have to calibrate where that risk is, because there's always a point. It's just whether or not that dial is moving closer to excessive risk aversion, and whether or not these poor kids don't get to use their head as a battering ram.
Jeff, I understand that for you the perfect day is a day of driving without a seatbelt, followed by a yogurt full of asbestos.
I mean, the good old days. I mean, it's funny you mentioned seatbelts, because I was thinking about my dad the other day, and you know, like anti-vaccine.
Yeah.
Seatbelts, that was like a dry run for that mindset. There was a lot of guys of a certain age. I mean, I can't remember when they were bought in the 80s, legal. I remember in the early 90s, there was just still a lot of dads. No, absolutely not. Yeah. This is the thin end of the wedge of state control. And they were right. So,
my opinion is, if you can prevent brain damage in children, controversial, try to. And I guess the truth is somewhere between forbidding it altogether and not having specific drills for it.
I mean, maybe that is the weird compromise that we often reach here, is that at a time that schools' budgets are really, really tough, we also, just like the premiership clubs, we need to have a forceful header monitor. employs some, just a part-time job, 24 grand a year. He's just there for afternoons, PE, and just keeps an eye on how forceful the headers are. And there you go. That's it. You're up to seven for the week now, and I think we've solved it.
Jeff, I have to tell you something. As a millennial, I lived through a very specific trend in haircuts that you may see around still, is when men grew really long fringes that swooped to the side in a sort of surfer style. Now you see the same men from my generation doing it, not because they're surfers, but because they are in fact balding and trying to hide that by growing out their hair and covering up their foreheads. But you see, back in middle school and high school, when boys in my classes grew those fringes, they would be very meticulously keeping them swooped to the side. And the way they did that was by repeatedly sort of throwing their heads to the side and giving themselves whiplash, just so their fringes lay just so. And I feel like there's a whole generation of people getting brain damage from specifically that.
I think that is absolutely hilarious, the idea that there's these lads have got RSI. I didn't even know that. So they're just constantly trying to get...
Oh my God, you would walk through a hallway in high school and it would just be men repeatedly throwing their heads to the side to make sure that their fringe was swooped in an elegant fashion. Andy, back me up on this. We're the same age.
That was me.
Yes!
One of my friends who had one of those fringes that was extra, extra long actually lost half his sight in one of his eyes because he was in his eye the whole time. And so he ended up with imbalanced eyesight. One is 20/20, one is super short-sighted now.
Oh my God.
Can we please keep this in?
I'm fine with it, yeah.
The damage of the long fringe is so much greater than we understand.
Hey, look, I'm going to sound very boomerish now, but with blokes, I think two hairstyles in your life maximum.
Tell Harry Styles that.
Well, I would. I think he's something. Look, just you go, you hit a point, you experiment. Yeah, be wild. You know, have curtains or have a swoop if you must. But I think that by the time you're 30, you really need to be locking down for the rest of your life. I mean, as you see, this side parting thing I've got going on now, that's it. I've done. That's it for life. Unless the receding hairline really accelerates, I'm kind of done. Really.
Jeff, can I just quote you back to you, which is what is it? Go crazy, have curtains.
Is that a meme or something? Is that?
I just think it's funny because the craziest thing you could fathom as a hairstyle was curtains.
I've sort of ranked it up there with sexually experimenting with your friends and stuff like that. I've gone, just go abroad. You travel, everyone does mad stuff abroad, you know. have curtains.
Jeff, what do you think is the most dignified way to deal with hair loss as a man?
Well, I think it depends on the shape of your head. If you're lucky and you have like a certain shaped head and you can grow good, evenly distributed stubble, it really shouldn't be a problem if you're a strong featured, masculine looking man. My head shape, I can already tell, is not a good one for baldness. So I don't know, you know, I don't know what I'm going to do if that happens. I don't really have that option. Because I can just go out of shot here. And show you, give you a sort of mock-up. Look, that's not good, is it?
What I'm seeing is a hard-boiled egg that just got, the bottom got dipped into some salt and pepper. Looks delicious.
So I think there was an agreement in there somewhere. I don't think it's massively workable, but we do always have to come away with some sort of deal. And the deal is that hard-pressed schools create a heading monitor.
It's a great job to have, but if you want it, I've got questions.
The first 10 men that volunteer for it, go deep on the CRB.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, Olga and Jeff. It's me, Luke Kempner here. A little question has been playing on my friend's mind, so I'll hand over to him.
Hi, Piers Morgan here, legendary broadcaster and all-round good bloke. My question is, why does Daniel Craig think he can wear a papoose and be Bond? It's outrageous. Thanks, guys. Hope you're having a great afternoon.
Piers Morgan isn't too happy about Daniel Craig walking around with a papoose, with a baby in his papoose. He thinks it's not masculine. He doesn't think that James Bond should be walking around with a papoose. Jeff, what do you think?
Well, first up, I don't think James Bond should be. I think Daniel Craig is sort of like an actor that plays James Bond. So I think that, you know, there is a slight difference there that I think Piers might have missed. When it comes to it, look, I'm not going to tread on any man's wish to wear a papoose. That is their choice. I'm pro-choice when it comes to papooses. I don't think the state should intervene yet. But I love being a father, right? I got one and I wore one. And there is one photo of that day. And I don't know how important your femininity is to you, Olga, you know. But I don't know if you've ever felt it just drain away in front of your eyes. Like you could see it just disappearing. The moment I wore one, I felt like 45% less of a man. But having said this, I still wanted to feel close to my son. So I just decided to carry him everywhere. And I ended up with really bad repetitive injuries in my arm.
Because you were so concerned, you were like, I want to hold a baby in a masculine way. So you could only do it via bicep curls. And then not only did you give yourself repetitive strain injury, you gave your own baby brain damage. Terrible.
You know, if you've ever put on something and just worn a thing and gone, my God, no, I cannot wear this. I do not feel right. Now, some of that might come down to toxic masculinity.
I've heard that from so many men who've tried to not wear condoms while having sex with me. But continue.
Babe, though, like, it's just like, just that stupid voice blokes do at that time as well. Do you know, it's just like, you, like, why are
doesn't
you talking
feel right.
like that? Yeah, just like, no, I don't feel close to you, you know. I mean, look, I can see that, yes, if you wanted to draw a metaphor for the impact of toxic masculinity, you would say a guy that denied wearing a papoose and then ended up having to have an operation on his wrist. Yeah, there might be some...
You actually got an operation on your wrist, Jeff!
Well, we can't say for certain, but yeah, I ended up with carpal tunnel. But I think some of that was to do with typing.
But definitely not jerking off, because Jeff famously isn't interested in sex anymore.
Yeah, libido gone, dead.
And it's not the lack of your libido that makes you feel less like a man. It's wearing a papoose. Interesting.
That's a really good point. But I mean, I said that begrudgingly, but it really was a good point. But so the papoose, is it a design thing? Is that the problem? Because for a long, you know, in my formative years, that was very much a thing that women wore, and I never saw men wear. So I'm going against a lot of history here. Is there a design thing here, Olga, that's a problem for a guy like me?
Look, it's called a papoose. It's not called a mamoose. In many ways, it's designed for a papa as opposed to a mama. Look, you probably expect me to be okay with a man wearing a papoose. And I'm coming at it from a different angle. I'm going to say men can't wear papooses because it's an irresponsible and arguably slutty thing of a man to do, because it makes him too appealing to a woman. Oh, what a nice father. Oh, what a dilf. No. I will automatically think you're a good person just because you're wearing a papoose. And I feel like that's trickery. I feel as a woman, I am cheated. I am lied to about the quality of the person that you are, basically just because you're willing to wear a baby in a bag. And that's not fair.
You see them as having too much sexual power.
Yeah. Oh, you're in touch with your feelings. Oh, you're comfortable with your masculinity enough to basically be pregnant in public. No, no, that's not.
No, I think if you're comfortable enough in your masculinity, that's why you wouldn't wear a papoose. You go, I have my masculinity. I've earned it over many years. I don't want to just lose it for a couple
of... So much of it that you're willing to do a thing that is maybe arguably not that masculine because you're that comfortable with how masculine you are. Do you know what I mean? It's cheating. I don't like it.
But that is a very progressive thing now that people say, actually, a real man would do this. No, a real man would bury his feelings and die young. Okay? That's what real men do. That's the sacrifice we make. And I will be showing my son the scar proudly. See that, son? That on my hand is because I looked at you and I went, I'm not going to make that concession for you because I need you to respect me. But I did carry him. I carried him everywhere because he hated the buggy. And weirdly, the buggy for blokes is less of an issue because there's like, you can nerd out over buggies. You can race them. You should not with the kids in, but certainly, you know, flat surfaces, you know, if you're going to go down that road, not a road, but you know, an area without cars. We had fun.
I mean, if you're going to do papoose, why not go the whole hog and do, you know, these cat backpacks when they put a cat in a backpack, but the backpack has like a little glass sort of plastic thing. And so the cat can see the outside world and it's sort of like a sphere. Why not do like a big half sphere that a man wears on the front? And it's like he's pregnant, but it's like also an aquarium with a child in it.
You're right.
I think I'm patenting this live on this podcast.
That is that's
are you I'm... picturing what I'm selling here?
I'm trying not to in some ways. I mean, it's such a stunning idea. It does come down to the bloke in a way. So if you've got a geezer, right, he's got like his fisherman's haircut and the beard and stuff, and he's got like this baggy white top and the long john trousers, he's got a papoose, great for him, okay, great for Caleb when he's going on his walk around with fucking moonbeam.
He is Caleb, isn't he? And his kid is not vaccinated.
Yeah, that weird intersection of seriously left wing and oh, we don't do that kind of stuff. Now consider Jeff, right? Jeans, polo shirt, baby on his front in a papoose. I'm going to look like I've stolen that baby. That's my... There goes a baby thief. Because it's annoying, man. It must be annoying with women as well. There's just some women when they're pregnant, when they do the baby stuff with the cute bandanas and the overalls and stuff like that. Some people can just really do it, right? And you know, these guys that wear all this kind of like easy Airtex clothing or whatever. But if you got it dresses like me, maybe it's the papoose needs to be redesigned, a bit more military look about it.
We need a camo papoose with a beer holder in it.
That's a nice idea. That feels like one of those presents that you would get at Christmas, and then you know, someone gives it to you, and then you laugh and go, "Great present," but then they go, "Yeah, we thought you could," and you go, "Oh, you're really going to expect me to wear this on Boxing Day, aren't you?"
Yeah, it's a papoose that's connected to one of those hats with two beer cans on either side.
Just as a note, you can get army surplus baby papooses if you want to look manlier. You'd have to get them in from America.
Why is the army producing papooses? Who's taking a baby to battle? That's masculinity. That's going, my baby is so a man, I'm taking him on the front lines.
I'll just pop it in the link of the chat so you can have a look at it. It costs a lot of money to get a tactical baby carrier.
A tactical baby carrier?
Already,
I'm much more likely to wear that. Because if I can explain...
Oh, God.
It's a tactical baby. Where is the? See, this is a boomer thing here.
It's 215 pounds.
But I like that. I like the fact it's expensive. I like the fact it's a tactical baby carrier. Son, I remember when I had you in the tactical baby carrier.
This is so upsetting.
And now, see, I would be happy. Well, I'll take your weird Freudian frontal papoose with a chamber in it. And this tactical baby carrier. And if this is an apprentice task, I think we're selling more on Team Excelsior or whatever it is.
Let's drop ship some. Let's get some prototypes going. We can sell it for half the money and make that money.
Tactical, but I mean, oh my God, I love the devastating alchemy of advertising. Tactical baby gear. I've gone full circle here. I almost want to have another child so I can wear that.
Are you dressing up a baby as a little army man?
Wasn't gonna, but the way that you said it was cute, so I think maybe, yeah.
Sergeant Baby, reporting for duty.
Oh my God, this is such great content, isn't it? This is, because I've never really known what to do on Instagram, and I think tactical baby gear dad might be... I mean, that would work, wouldn't it?
The guy, making a baby do burpees. Baby doing burpees, but he's actually just burping on your... Oh, come on!
Instagram.
Oh,
Jesus
my God.
Christ.
Drop down and give me 100 minutes of sleep because it's your nap.
Yeah.
Oh, it's army baby.
This will work.
Little baby got PTSD.
Somebody's dropped some mustard gas.
Oh, God. So.
Yes, we've gone full circle. It's just a question of marketing, isn't it?
Okay, so I basically... We've started with both of us thinking that men shouldn't wear papooses, you because you thought it was emasculating, and me, ultimately, because I think me feeling attraction towards a man with a papoose just draws attention to how low my standards are for someone being a good dad. Because I see, if I see a woman with a papoose, I think nothing. And when I see a man with a papoose, I say, oh my God, Yasley, hero dad.
Yeah.
And I hate that, and I think... That makes me angry. And we've ended in me feeling the same way, feeling like it's a cheap way to make me respect a man, whereas you now think you will wear a papoose if it's military themed.
Yeah, I think that the cheapness of it is what sort of drew me to it in a way. The superficiality of both those things, of the fact that it actually does make women drawn to you. But on the other hand, there's war stuff. So war stuff plus women equals Jeff's product of the week. Okay, so we're in our cultural exchange bit here, and look, my comedy, I deal in stereotypes. I try to, you know, avoid the most heinous ones, but I do like to draw broad conclusions about society to build my knowledge base. This is me trying to make an excuse for what I'm about to say, but Olga, one thing I'm fascinated about, I've been married a while now, and I noticed that if I just drop something in a room and there's a slight bang or something, my wife has to know what the bang was, right? She has to know. Are you like, I don't, if I hear a bang in another room, I wait for a follow-up noise, and if there's no follow-up noise, I'll conclude that the coast is clear and it's fine. But she always, no matter what the sort of follow-up to that is, What was that bang? She has to know what the bang was. So the first question, is that a fair stereotype about broad female behaviour? And the second one, is that something that you share? Are you like that? And then the third one, why does that happen?
A, I've never heard this as a stereotype in my entire life.
Oh, okay.
B, from what I know about you and your family, may I make potentially the assumption that you're, due to the fact that your wife is a housewife and the fact that you are a comedian, does your wife do the majority of the housework in the house?
Yes.
And could it be that she's anticipating a sort of cleanup scenario from that is a result of a unknown bang in a room that she's not?
Could be. Let's not rule out nosiness as well. There's nosiness could be an issue. Just being nosy. Well, what's that? You don't know.
Could be that. Sorry, or could be, have you just created more housework for me in the other room? Is that what's happening?
You're a smart lady. I mean, straight away, that's a very probable reason. I think also what's funny is the fact that you said you've never heard the stereotype. So I'm now that deep into marriage that I think my whole marriage is a kind of template for everything. 18 years.
Yeah. I would love to read a book of you writing stereotypes that are not a thing, just a book about your wife, but everything you write is just a generalization about women.
And also the ones that reveal like your failings as a person. Like if Michael McIntyre just went out, I was like, you ever noticed that, you know, how your wife just, whenever she's got social time, she never chooses to spend it with you. That doesn't sound great, Michael.
Don't you love it when your wife says Portugal at dinner parties to shut you up?
You also used to have a card system. So then we went through a period. It's a strange period where I sort of went back to binge drinking, and it went up till quite recently. But yeah, we had this card system. So if I was being weird or, you know, just annoying, she'd just get, like, give me a yellow card. And so it was a good system because I would often wind my neck in, apart from once where I did get the full red card, where there was a couple, these two fellas that we'd been partying with a couple of nights previously. And then we met them out in Ibiza town. And my wife said, this is Pedro and Julio. Genuinely their names. I'm not just picking.
Right.
That was genuinely their names. And I claimed, no, it wasn't. I said, no, that's not them. And my wife's like, they were like, yes, it is us. I was like, no, I don't remember this. But I was claiming that two people we were with weren't the two people they claimed to be. Straight red, early bath for Norcott. Get yourself back to the hotel, son.
That's such a bizarre, out of order drunk behavior. It's not like you're breaking things or being too loud, but it's like you're getting told off for misidentifying people. That's so funny.
You're not you.
That's so arbitrary. That's gaslighting. When you're drunk, you start gaslighting people, Jim.
People didn't think there was a level above misgendering. I've mispersoned someone. I've basically said, no, not having that. You are not you. And so that was a straight red. So look, I mean, maybe we're just giving away relationship tips here. It turns out that stereotype isn't one that you identify with, but that maybe if you've been in a relationship a while, maybe as well as Portugal and CCC, maybe the card system is a good thing.
What I'm hearing is that I learn something new every time that I record a podcast with you. And what I've learned is that you need to manify and masculinify just arbitrary and like everyday things. Like if a papoose isn't military style, you won't wear it. And if feedback from your wife about how drunk you are isn't brought to you via football rules, you won't listen to it.
One last thing. You know that thing that your boyfriend said earlier that got bleeped out? You know what that was to do with? That was...
Portugal.
If you've enjoyed this podcast, please tune in to Late Night Mash, the TV show, on Dave at 10 p.m. Thursdays. You can also stream it for free on UK TV Play if you're young and hip like me, Olga Koch.
I'm not that old. I've streamed stuff.
Documentaries about the war.
So what if it was?
And you know what? Even if you haven't enjoyed the podcast, tune into the show. A hell of a lot more money spent on a TV show.
Yeah, the TV show is not filmed in a seedy hotel room, for instance.
And I wish it were. Each week, our new host, Rachel Paris, is joined by a load of funny correspondents and a special guest, all giving their expert analysis on this week's news and everything else interesting going on in the world of culture, society, and showbiz. Jeff Norcott's on it sometimes. I'm on it, and we're funny, right? Right?
Right. You're great, Olga. We're good together, actually. We could become a powerful double act like Bennifer. We could call ourselves Norcock.
Jeffka? Maybe. Late Night Mash, Thursdays at 10 on Dave and streaming on UK TV Play.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Have you ever wondered what it'd be like to nose around a comedian's house, take their stuff and see how much money you can make by selling it?
No, that's a pretty niche thing, to be honest. Bit creepy, really.
But that's the premise of Dave's brand new comedy podcast, Hard Sell, with me, Josh Jones.
And me, Darren Harrier. We're going to travel the country, visiting the homes of different comedians, chatting about their spending habits before grabbing one of their favourite possessions and giving ourselves 1 week to try and sell it for charity. In a competition to see who can raise the most money.
It's a right laugh as we get to meet amazing funny people like Kima Bob, Joel Dommett, Ria Lina, Ivo Graham, Josh Pugh and lots more.
But also sort of like an incredibly stressful cheese dream where we're trying to shift what are essentially stolen goods against the clock. It's bonkers.
Hard Sell with Josh Jones
and Darren Harrier.
Available now wherever you get your podcasts.